Hey, shut that off! We got a show to do!
Okay, let's do it. You're listening to RTSC Talk Radio with your host Steve Holte and co-host Kristen Morris and Lieutenant Andy Selfridge. Now on with the show. Okay, guys, welcome to another fun-filled edition of RTSC Talk Radio. I'm your host, Real Time Spirit Communication, RTSC. That's what that stands for. I'm joined by Kristen and Andy, as usual, my usual co-host. And guys, you there?
Guys. Did I lose Kristen and Andy? I may have lost Kristen and Andy. Let me do that again. See what you guys are up to. Anyway, we got a good show for you tonight. Kristen?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened. Here. It was not technical issues. I don't know what happened. It was a Skype issue. So
I am joined. Technical issue on my end.
Yeah, I know. You're having a little bit of problems. Is it rainy or something of that nature, or?
I don't know. Bad spirits.
Okay. Kristen's here. Andy is here. We're ready to rock and roll and do this show. Just everybody in the chat room, just drop a line. Let me know that you hear us okay, and then we're coming out live on air. So, anyway, what do we got on this show? We got a lot of stuff to cover on this show because we do it every 2 weeks. So every 2 weeks, we got a lot of stuff to go over, and what I'm going to go over tonight. First thing I want to start out with, and Kristen, you're already familiar. Familiar? What is with me tonight?
I'm 2 weeks, a long time.
I'm a blah blah blah. you're familiar with this because I just did this in a couple, like an hour ago. Got Kristen involved with this. I had bought a mini box. Remember, I had mini box on originally back in 2007 when it first became available, because I have to have everything. And so I got the mini box, and then I got rid of it. I traded it for a Panasonic RRDR60, which was a good choice, by the way, because that thing's going for what's the most current price for that thing? $5 billion on eBay.
Yeah, it fluctuates. I've seen it as high as 4,000, but on average, about 1,700 is what most people are trying to get for them at it on eBay.
Okay, so I traded my original mini box. At the time, I think it cost me $299. I traded it for the RRDR60 Panasonic recorder, which is like the be-all, end-all in recorders out there on the market. You know, if people that want to go out there and try to find one, maybe try and go to yard sales or something like that. Maybe you'll find one. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be cool. That'd
you
be
go to like
a
yard sale and you see an RRDR60 Panasonic recorder, knowing you can get like $1,500 for it, and then you're like, tell the guy, you know, how much you want for this thing? And the guy's like, I don't know, a dollar. Give me a dollar. You know what I mean? That's the kind of stuff that you look forward to doing.
You got a vivid imagination there. Well, that's not going to happen.
They don't know. They don't know what they got there.
True.
So, what makes me sick is I actually had one way before I was into paranormal research. My dad gave me his old one, and I didn't care anything about it. I was just, you know, I thought it was kind of neat. But I let it roll around in the floorboard of my truck for a while, and then it got crushed. And that was that. If I would have known.
Yeah, if you would have known. Who would have knew that the 12-469 original Shack Hack would be going for $100 on eBay?
Yeah, I think I'm going to sell mine.
Oh, you still have them?
Yeah, oh yeah. actually, that's my go-to box. I mean, they all work great, but that's when, I don't know, I guess it's got my imprint.
It's about your first box. I don't know. It always works the best. You know what they say about your first.
I just traded a Steve's box for a 12-469. You people think I'm probably way nuts.
I have two 470s. Those are impossible.
Yeah, I got a 3 470s and an old style 469. So
ooh, you got the old style.
I got the old style 470 and an old style 469. I got a bunch of those 470s here. But I gave away all the 469s that I had, the white ones. So I offered a trade to the, you know, someone in the group, Jan, who lives out in California. Mm-hmm. And she was willing to trade her 469 that's brand new for a Steve's box. Not that I'm going to use it. It's just that I need it. I'm planning on making like an RTSC museum one day. And I have like tons and tons of different boxes and collaborated ideas with people and half-made projects. And I want to make a little case for it and put some stuff in there and document it with a timeline. And I think, and I need a 469 because that was the first shack hack ever. So not that I'm going to use it, I'm going to put it in the museum. So, anyway, that's that. I think I got way sidetracked because I was on eBay the other day and I looked for ghost boxes and I found a mini box on there, an original mini box, crystal enhanced with a speaker. The person was selling it. I said, you know what, I'll bid on it. I know this thing. It's $600 on Paranormal Systems website for an original mini box, crystal enhanced. It's $569. So I bid on it. Not thinking anything of it. Forgot all about it for a couple days. I won it. $120, and it came with a speaker.
Awesome.
Yeah, mini box with crystal enhancement and a speaker. And I played it, you know, for Kristen earlier about an hour ago. And Kay, how did we do?
Incredible. Whoever it was did like me.
Yeah.
But they came through loud and clear.
And I was, what did it say last night? Before. After I hung up with you, I went downstairs and I had to modify box number 29, Steve's box, because I'm shipping that out. And when I turned it on to test it, they were still going on about you, Kristen.
Were they the ones that have been knocking my computers down all day, all night?
I don't know. What I'd like to do is I want to take a couple minutes right now. I want to fire up this new mini box I got. I want to let you guys listen to it firsthand. Let me know what you think out there in internet land listening to the show. And I want you to write in the chat what you're hearing. And I'd be not surprised at all if they continue to talk about you, Kristen.
Uh-oh, okay.
I don't know what you did to them.
If I lose my computer. Actually, somebody said something nice about me. They did say they loved me after they called me all kinds of names, so we'll see.
Yeah, good and bad there. I'd like to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room. Let me just run down the list real quick. Rita, my loving fiance, she's in there. She's supporting me every week, even though her interest is slim in the paranormal. She still comes on there, and she... And she shows interest.
She's better than my husband, that's for sure. He won't even give this a time of day, so.
Yeah, I told her earlier, I said, you know what, you don't have to listen to the show if you don't want to. She goes, why, you don't want me there? I said, no, I love having you there. I said, but, you know, if you were, like, into knitting, I don't know if I could sit through an hour-long show about knitting. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
So, yeah. So anyway, so she, what you call it, she's in here. We also have... Boogeyman 73. We have Ralph, Tim, Idaho EVP, our good friend of the show, Bill Murphy, is in there checking in with us tonight. Not Jake. Oh God, not Jake is
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're going after me right now.
Oh no.
I'm about to kick them out.
Oh really? Already?
Yeah.
Kristen Eater.
Snooky Dumpling is here. Ghostbuster. Haunted Lunch. Who was in here last show. Thank you for coming back and joining us again. Jerome Finley, excellent guy. He has three Frank's boxes now, has Steve's box number 28, and I just shipped him Steve's box number 33. So,
yay,
and
Jerome.
And he's also, I got to get him on the show. He's awesome.
Absolutely.
awesome, interesting, and we got to get him on the show for the stuff that he does. We have Dory Ma and Terry. And Terry, if it's the same Terry that I'm thinking of, there was a Terry that I'm shipping out Steve's box number 29 to. And that's what I was just doing downstairs. I was modifying box number 29, making sure everything was a go. And I got that all boxed up, packaged. I got to throw a label on there, and it'll go out tomorrow. So if Terry, if that's you in the chat room, I am going to get that out tomorrow. So I think I got caught up with all that stuff. Tonight's guest, before I fire up the mini box, let you guys listen to that. We have Glenn Orwin.
The third,
yes. And he's going to be talking about Ghostbox research. Now, I had come across him in a Google search, I think, of Ghostboxes. He was on some radio show on Blog Talk talking about Ghostboxes. And they were all talking to him, and they said he's the Ghostbox, the go-to Ghostbox guy and stuff. I said, who is this guy? I said, if he's a Ghostbox guy, got to get him on the show. So that's exactly what I did. Got a hold of him, talked to him today. Seems to be a nice guy. We'll get him on the show, see what he's doing, see what he's all about, and see what he's up to. Right now, I'd like to talk, get the mini box on. I'll turn that on for a second. Guys in the chat room, everybody out there, just write what you think you're hearing in the chat. Then we're going to go to a quick break. Then we're going to get our guest on. And also, Kristen, if you see anybody acting funny
I'll kick their ass out.
Yes. Do what you got to do.
So,
yeah, Bill's writing go-to Ghostbox guy. Yeah, this is a guy I've never heard of, but he is the go-to Ghostbox guy in his area. You know, okay. So we're going to find out. I don't judge. If he's the go-to guy in the area, that's cool. We need more people doing Ghostbox research. So I don't mind anything about that. But I just wanted to make sure that he has heard about me because that's important to me. Fits my ego. So let me turn this mini box on and let you guys listen to this. And if you guys want to ask some questions, you can. Can you guys hear that?
Yes.
I heard Steve. All right, guys, just listening to this mini box real quick. Just want to see if you guys are out there. It's hard for me to hear this with the headphones on. You guys hear that all right?
I hear it fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there anybody still out there that has a message for Kristen? I believe in something. Someone said it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I heard Steve's here.
What's up, guy?
I'll speed the sweep up. Sounds like a phone's ringing or something in there. Rita, wow, that was so clear. What about Rita, guys? Yeah. You guys making out anything?
No.
No? Let me slow this down real quick.
Get the thing to work.
Okay, anyway, this is, I'll explain to this in a second here. Ooh, who'd they yell?
That's my name.
Wow, that was a really clear question. What about Kristen? If you have a message, just give her the message, guys.
Something about computer?
Yeah, I'm having computer issues.
Are you guys affecting Kristen's computer? A lot of EMF going on here in this room.
I'm hearing Halte a lot too, so
yeah.
Still in the chat, Haunted Lunch.
Okay, guys, I'm going to shut down right now. Just wanted to play a little broadcast segment for the people out there in the chat room. I'm going to shut down. All right, guys? All right, bye. Get out of here. Can you hear him?
Mm-hmm.
Did he just curse?
Yes.
Hey, Sonny. Who was that? Matt? Who?
People
Matt who?
Okay. I heard Coldplay.
Again.
Yeah. All right, guys, I am going to shut down. We do have a guest tonight, so maybe we'll come back after the show and do it again, all right?
Steve, get in touch.
Okay, no problem. Why? Is there a problem? It said, like, yes, multiple problems. Sounds good. Okay. All right, see you guys. Okay. So anyway, that's the mini box.
So, now, is that the analog?
Yeah, this is the analog.
The original, awesome.
Yeah, it's the original, and it's crystal enhanced. It's mini box number 178. This is another reason why I got this. I needed it for my museum because I needed an original mini box. And what was I going to tell you about? Oh, for those out there that don't know, this is a TRF. Radio, tuned radio frequency. It's mm-hmm. like based off the original radio ever made. So that's what that is. And Frank, he builds TRF radios as well. I think I have a couple of them, two downstairs. But I think that sounded pretty damn good for $100. You really can't beat that. So
no, that's a really. I mean, it sounds awesome, and I like the way it sounds. But you say it had two AM tuners in there going at the same time? Is that what you told me?
What I believe the original mini box did is it had overlapping audio. One goes one way and one goes the other way. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct in saying that it has two AM tuners in there, one overlapping each other. Andy, do you know anything about that?
I think that's how my mini box 2 was.
Yeah, I think it's radio overlapping radio.
It's like you're simultaneous signals from both ends of the band.
So, we got a new person in the chat room. Let's say hello to Stay Puff Marshmallow Man.
So. Okay.
So anyway, let's take a quick 3-4 minute break. We're gonna get a guest on, and we'll talk to our guest and see what they're up to. Which is Glenn Orwin III, and pretty decent guy. You know, nice guy to talk to. We're gonna find out what he's been doing with all this stuff. And so I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to come back, and we'll get him on, and we'll go about our business. What do you guys want to hear? Anything in particular?
No. Nothing. Why do we have to go to a break? Why can't we just keep going?
No, I want to go to a break.
Okay. Just asking. Go for a break.
Hey, did the Devil Box come back yet?
Yes, Devil Box came back. You want to go? You want to continue?
Oh, I love the Devil Box.
You want to continue? You don't want to go break?
No, I don't see no
need. I like to give people a chance to, like, you know, go to the bathroom if they got to go, or...
They should have done that before they got here.
What about me?
You should have done that before you got there.
All right, let's get our guest on then. And if okay. I have to go, you guys can take over, and I'll just I'll run out.
Okay.
All right, so let's... Glenn Orwin III. He's a construction guy. Let me see if I could add people. Yeah, that's what we want to do, right? I still mm-hmm. can't get used to this Skype broadcasting. Anyway, anybody in the chat room, if they want to get in touch with us and Glenn Orwin III, talking about Ghostbox research and real-time spirit communication, you guys can call. Kristen is going to put the number in the chat room. It's 732-587-7041. If you have a call, if you have a question for the guest, come on there, and we'll get you on the air, and we'll get your question on. We'll hopefully get it answered. So let's get our guest on here. Glenn, hang on 1 second. Let's give him a buzz, see if he's around. Hopefully he will be. You're changing me all up, Chris, by the way. I usually go to a break. Messing me all up here.
I do like to try that. Huh.
Hello.
Glenn, Steve.
Good. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
What's going on, man? You're on live on the radio. Get you on here. I tried to get as close to quarter after nine as possible. I know it's a little bit late, but you're on the East Coast time, too, so it's not too late.
Sure, no problem.
But anyway, we're on here. I got my co-hosts, Kristen and Andy, so they'll be shooting they'll be shooting questions at you as well as me. So, plus people in the chat room are going to have some questions. So we're gonna really run you through the mill in the next half hour, 45 minutes, whatever we go.
Okay.
All right. So,
sounds good.
Anyway, we might as well, get started with, give us a little background on when did you get started? Not necessarily in Ghostbox research, but in the paranormal.
I got started in the paranormal in about, around 2006, pretty much got started like everybody else. The shows became more popular, sites became more popular, and that's how I got involved with it.
Yeah, same with me, absolutely. And people, I'm specific in this and doing this research, but yeah, I've been interested in the paranormal, for a really long time, but I haven't been doing paranormal stuff myself since 2006. That's when I actually started, and I think the shows probably got me interested. The fact that it was getting mainstream out there.
Yeah, a lot of the shows got a lot of people interested. I actually got into it, Steve, believe it or not, as, in 2006, as a gigantic skeptic.
Yeah, well, that's... Yeah, that's a way to do it.
Like I said to a lot of people, I grew up on a lot of the old Leonard Nimoy In Search Ofs and stuff
those.
When things got a little bit better and a little bit more complex and stuff, I started wondering, like, what are these people seeing,
Yeah, me too. I'll tell you what, I'm still a skeptic. Besides what I do, because I have a faith in exactly what I'm doing, and I believe that it's true and it's really going on, but as for everything else in the paranormal, I watch the shows and I'm like, okay, they got a piece of video. Although that's kind of cool, it could be tampered with, and I don't really trust it. Pictures, I hardly ever trust pictures. I mean, all the other stuff is cool, but I don't know. I guess you got to be there, and you had to take the picture, or you had to see it on the recorder at the time. That's how I feel anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you there. The saying that I'm familiar with is, like, when you get into the paranormal like this is, somewhere along the line, you're going to take that hit. You're going to get that disembodied voice, or you're going to get that picture or that EVP where it's just like, that this is you, you got something that's just totally, it's a personal thing. It's for yourself. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I agree. You are a technical savvy person. Now you started in 2006. Did you originally start like modifying equipment? Were you like a tech guy for a team or?
Actually, no. I was actually by myself in 2006. I had no affiliation with groups. My technical background. I have a general contractor background. As far as that goes, common electricity, industrial electricity. Mm-hmm. Tinkered around with this, that, and the other thing. Kind of like I think every young male did at one time. Grabbed the radio, tore it apart, see what was in it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But, I didn't really have too much background as far as, paranormal equipment and stuff like that, and just got into it like that.
Yeah. Well, same thing with me. I opened up stuff, and when I got my first Frank's box, it was like 10 billion wires in there, and I looked in there, and I go, yep, that's 10 billion wires. That closed it back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you don't know what you're doing... when you're over your head, you know better to not touch it. I mean, I'm not always like that. I've caused quite a few fires and blew a couple of stuff up, but you learn as you go.
Yeah.
I've
done the same exact thing. I've blown up a motor or two, or fried a sweet board, or shot something across the room.
Yeah, I had I make my own boxes now. What I do is I take really good sounding tuners, radios that are already out there, and I cut the trace wires and I inject my own external sweep board, and I put the sweep board inside the box and add a sweep knob with a pod on there, and it's adjustable, and it works great, and I'll tell you, it's awesome. But I had a home tuner a couple weeks ago, and I hooked it up to, what was it, 120 volts, 110 volts? I hooked it up, and I plugged it in. I shot that board straight across the room. I've never seen anything like it. It was like a gun went off.
Well, that's what they say. If you ain't blown something to burn something up, you're probably not doing something right.
Yeah, I sat there in shock for a second, and then all of a sudden I go, yeah, I probably shouldn't have did that. You know, after I after I thought about it. But then I figured it all out and see what I was doing. But
well, that's the thing with some of this stuff. It's a trial and error thing. I mean, we really don't, you know, I believe that not one person really has the answers to any of it. I think it takes a village, you know what I mean? And we have a huge village, a huge pool of resources, you know, to pull from. Not only the people that are doing, you know, regular investigations, but people that are involved in shows, people that are involved in equipment, you know? I mean, I really think we're closer than ever now to, you know, getting back to the why of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it seems like doing the Ghostbox research and even in traditional EVP, it seems like they're coming through ever so clearly now, and it's bothering me because it's never been that way, and it seems like recently it's getting so clear. Like, and I turn on a ghost box, and they're saying my full name clearly, and I think they said my name a few times right before I got you on. I recently purchased. I had an original mini box back in 2007 that I got, and I just picked one up on eBay because I sold it, my mini box, and I traded it for a Panasonic RRDR60. But I so I wanted to get the mini box back and just have it for my collection. So I found one on eBay for $100. You know, it came with a speaker and stuff. It sounded good, so I fired it up before before you came on, and it actually said my full name again. And I'm like, wow, I don't know, something's definitely going on, and I don't know what your thoughts are on why it's becoming more clear now than it was before. Is it because of 2012? Is it going to be the end of the world? I mean, a lot of people are theorizing on that kind of platform.
Well, you know, my thought on it is, I mean, like, you know, as far as future events, 2012 thing and stuff like that, I mean, it's possible. I don't think the future is actually set. I mean, I think people can change their future, you know what I mean? You can change your luck in a way. I really believe because, you know, the box work has actually become more popular. More popularity, more usage, more talking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's how I feel about it. I mean, when I do events and stuff like that, when, you know, we're at like overnights or investigations or sleepovers or something like that, there's always somebody coming up and saying, oh, man, you know, I saw this really cool thing on TV. It was like a radio, you know, and like voices were coming out of it. And they don't even know half of them what they're talking about, you know. And then when you tell them what was like a ghost box, yeah, that's it. That looks really cool. Like, you know. You know, do you have one of them? Can we do that? I mean, it's really popular these days. Like, you know, we all can't be crazy is my thing of it.
Yeah,
I don't think we are. We're hearing it. No, I don't think we are either. I mean, but, you know, it's funny the reactions. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you're well familiar with the reactions from people when, you know, they hear their name come out of there, or they hear, you know, harsh language come out of there. I mean, it's really, it'll blow your mind.
Yeah, it's hard because you have to take these people on one by one, you know, and set them aside. And then I find that I've done events, and when I go out into the field and people want to hear the ghost box and what's going on, I got one particular person who was interested in it. They heard some things they just couldn't explain. They followed me around all night, you know, because it was intriguing to them.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I mean, it's, you know, I've had a lot of the weirder experiences as far as that goes, especially with the groups. I had one time, I was with a group of 15, and we had one individual that every time he came around, the box would stop talking.
Huh.
It would just stop, like, oh, here he comes. And, like, we would get nothing, and everybody would look at each other, and then when the guy would walk away and stuff like that, it was, is he gone? Yeah, he's gone. And they would go back to talking, like, I don't know, I mean, I think it's like, you know, they pick and choose who they want to talk to.
Yeah, that's weird. And a place where I went and I actually did a lecture and an investigation is a place that you're pretty familiar with, Fort Mifflin.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do events there. I love that place, man. That place is just so cool. You know, I don't have many personal experiences when I go places. Mm-hmm. That was the only place I ever had a personal experience. Been to Eastern State a few times. Nothing. But Fort Mifflin, in Casemate, I want to say it was 4. That's a good one, right?
No, number four is probably the most active casemate in that row. You have numbers 1 through 5, and number four that's the bigger one right there. Yeah,
and you know, I was doing traditional EVP sessions, and I was asking questions, playing them back, and I was like, wow, man, it seems like someone's right here. We were talking about reviewing the session and stuff like that. All of a sudden, my flashlight went off. Not like the ghost hunters, you know, they loosen it up, so of course it's going to go on by itself. If you just jump up and down on the floor, it's going to go off, you know. But this legitimately was going on and off on command with my questions, and the thing was tight, and I never had a problem with this flashlight ever. So, and that happened in Casemate 4, and that was, I mean, I never had that kind of experience ever. And it's hard to say to people because people go, yeah, right, you know. But if you know me, I go places and I tell you, it's not haunted. Eastern State is not haunted. You know, in my opinion, I've been there a few times. There's nothing going on there.
Well, you know, I've had some stuff at Eastern State, and I've had not as much as, you know, everyone. The majority of the things that I've had, especially for box, you know, have been at Fort Mifflin. You know, it makes you wonder. I mean, is it the environment that you're in that actually? I actually was down there for an overnight for an event, and we had it. We do have it on film somewhere. I don't have any audio with me right now, but we had about 30 people for the event, and I could ask through the box, like, hey, you know, Mark's K2, and he's on the other side of the fort. Can you light that up? And, like, you could see on the film on the other side, the thing would light up. Like, it actually, to tell you the truth, it spooked me. I didn't know that was able to go on.
That was the first time I ever saw the millimeter. Also was at the Fort Mifflin event.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I mean, I don't have one personally because it's, I don't know, it's too expensive. And I don't really have a use for it. I have, like, 10... EMF detectors here, you know, and I don't go anywhere, so what's the point of having another one for $100 and some odd? That's my point.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you don't need much. I mean, these, you know, all these people, you know, they have to have all the newest gizmo that hits the market and stuff like that. I mean, to do it, you know, you don't need all too much, but I really think it's the place, too, that fuels it, you know, and the people. I mean, if the chemistry's right there and stuff like that, I mean, you know, I've been kicked off my box. Like, my box didn't want to talk to me. It was just like, hey, I want to talk to this person. Like, shut up. You know, I mean,
that's,
you know.
Yeah, I guess it could happen.
It happens to me a lot. You know, my tech person is named Chris.
Right.
And he's, you know, if there's a group of women around, he doesn't want to talk to me. He wants to talk to them.
Hmm. It's interesting.
Yeah, he'll literally, yeah, you know, they're like, hey, dude, shut up. Like.
But it's you take,
you know,
the...
I couldn't blame him. I wouldn't want to talk to me either. If it was, you know, you got a group of 50 women around, why would you want to talk to me?
Now, how long have you been doing ghost box research? And I'm going to segue into one of the questions we have here in the chat room. How long have you been doing ghost box research? Now, you were
pals with John Morange, another ghost box researcher and magician, right? Magician, psychic. He's got the whole thing going on there. Yeah, he and I, just to go back real quick for a second, he and I had a little little falling out at the beginning, because I think at the beginning when we all started doing this, we started butting heads because I think everybody wanted to be on the top of the mountain. Everybody wanted to have the best ghost box, getting the best communication, and I think that's where we butted heads. Since then, you know, we're okay because I don't really care about anybody, you know, who does anything out there anymore. I think the more people is the better for the communication. I think people are out there getting the word out, and that's just the most important thing to me now that I see. But John Morange, you were friends with him, and he got you interested in ghost box research?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay. And I guess he had two Frank's boxes.
Yeah, he had two. He still has number 33, which I believe is last I talked to John, I believe it's upstate Pennsylvania. And John, you know John. John could be anywhere.
Yeah, he chose to travel around. But so you've been in there, and how many ghost boxes do you have? And the person in the chat room was asking which one is your favorite.
Right now I have two. You know, my favorite's my main box, which is named Big Red. It's a converted Milwaukee job site radio, believe it or not.
Wow.
I was just sitting there one day and decided, you know what? Man, that just would, like, make a great ghost box. And tore it apart and, you know, mess with some circuitry and bypass some switches and, you know, turn here, tuck there, and next thing you know, boom.
Did you insert your own sweep circuit, or did you just modify it to just sweep on its own?
Say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up, Steve.
Did you modify it to sweep on its own, or did you add your own sweep circuit with an adjustable sweep rate?
I modified it to sweep on its own.
Okay. So that's your go-to box is the Big Red.
Yeah, this is my go-to. Yeah, that's my go-to box. It's the one. It's not the most portable box going. I mean, it's heavy. It's built like a tank.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah, you've seen. I mean, I think they're actually out on. They have two more versions that are just out. They're digital radios and stuff like that, and you know, they actually have a 12-volt model out now, which I'm going to be playing with soon, which is nice and small and portable, but I have the original one that came out. I mean, this one takes the 18-volt battery, which, I mean, you can run this thing all night long, you know
oh
what
my
I mean?
God,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's heavy. I mean, it's like lugging around, you know, like a little case of soda.
Hey, as long as it works. Now, does it work better on AM or FM?
I seem to work better on AM.
AM, okay. No, it's just depends on the preference.
Yeah, I ask. I mean, you know, I ask what's good. I mean, what's running? Sometimes it's AM, sometimes it's FM, but the majority of the time it's AM. And then I ask, you know, what's good? Forwards, backwards, you tell me.
Yeah.
You know, I can change the tone, I can change the pitch, play with it a little bit, you know, with a touch of a couple buttons. You know, hit the button once, it's yellow for a certain tone. Hit it again, it's green. Hit it again, it's red. You know, I ask, what's good? You know, what's working? Sometimes something works, sometimes it doesn't. And I usually get a response out of the box. Well, look, you know, let's do that, don't do that. And boom, away we go.
And Tim in the chat room is asking where he can go out and buy one. Is it?
And how much does it cost?
And how much does it cost?
This one right now actually costs about, you can get this one, I think they're clearancing them, believe it or not. I've seen it as low as, $70.
Wow.
Of course I had to get the first one out, so it was like $157.29, you know, one of these deals. You know, but you can get them, believe it or not, the batteries for them, you know, the 18-volt battery for this thing is, like right now, the last I remember, is almost as much as the box. It's like $85.
Wow. All right, and someone wrote in the chat room that you can get it at Sears.
Sears.
I think Sears. Your best bet for something like that is
online.
Home Depot and Lowe's. It seems Home Depot is more for like that particular brand. I mean, most of the companies are doing it too, as far as like tool companies like Bosch and Milwaukee. DeWalt has one, and these radios convert fairly easy. And like I said, they're built like Glock pistols. I mean, you can drop them, kick them, punch them. You know,
yeah, and
they,
I work in the car
business. Keep going.
I work in the car business, and I think Snap-on is making them radios now too. Snap-on, Makita.
I believe they are. I mean, everybody's got their own. You know, they come in different styles. They come in different. What I like about them, you can do so much with them. Like mine has an auxiliary jack, so if I'm doing EVPs or something like that, and I want to listen back, all I do is plug into the recorder. I plug into the back of the box instantly. I hit play, crank the volume up. Now everybody can hear it.
Just aggravate people on your job site. You should just do that when people walk by.
You know what? A lot of times I don't even take it to the job sites anymore because the guys don't want to work. They want to do ghost box.
That's awesome. You see, me, the guys at work want to make fun of me for doing ghost box stuff. See? A little different
right.
there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, dude, you know it yourself. I mean, because we do ghost box work and stuff like that, a lot of misconceptions go on. I mean, I've been accused of, worshiping the devil, making some kind of deal. Yeah, it's like, come
worshiping
on,
the
man.
Devil, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny when you come in, you come into somewhere and, you're talking about the box, you're talking about box work or something like that. Some people are just like, whoa, it's some of them, it's too much for them.
Yeah, I can
just
see that.
They're not, I don't think that they're ready, to get into it. I mean, me myself, if I'm having, if I'm having a bad run or, there's a lot of turmoil in my personal life or something like that, I don't run the box.
Yeah, I know a lot of people feel the same way because you get a lot of negative stuff coming through.
Well,
exactly.
They say it's like attraction, like attracts like. So if you're in a bad mood, you're going to attract lower level.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, if I've actually had instances, where I've done like conversions for people and stuff like that, and it's not uncommon. I mean, it's not as much these days, but it's not uncommon to get a call from their husband, wife, girlfriend, whoever it may be, saying, "Listen, they're just like doing box constantly. They're not like going to work. They're not like socializing. They're not like cleaning, cooking. They're not like, and they're just doing box."
Yeah, that's not good. See, I never knew anybody that intense.
I've had about three of them that were, names withheld, of course, for personal reasons. But
right.
I've actually gone to their houses and like taken their boxes away from them. Yeah,
man. I never seen anybody get that bad.
Well, think about it. If a lot of people, life right now is not, the economy's bad. Let's just face it. Life sucks for some people.
Yeah.
We're sitting on, I'm not laying on a bed of roses myself, but, I guess if I was down enough and, something came out of the box, that could manipulate the way you think and you're in an emotional state of suggestion,
right.
Let's put it. I guess you could get entangled.
Yeah. I could definitely agree with that. I have a friend who's a demonologist. I keep him like on retainer,
mm-hmm.
for people that kind of slip up a little bit and start getting a little off. I just have him get in touch with them, just a little reality check, sometimes.
Definitely.
Just to make sure that they're okay, because there's some people that I've heard run the box 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and just kind of pop their head in the room every once in a while and going, "Hey, guys," and set up the box to in front of the TV because they like to watch TV. I mean, some things are a little off. A little above and beyond me. So I just point them in his direction, and he takes care of that for me. Someone in the chat room was asking if you sell boxes.
No, I don't. I haven't sold one. I don't. It's not something I do for a profit, as far as that goes. I have my two, and you know, my thing is too up. I go around to a lot of local groups, like in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, New York. You know, they want to experiment, or they want an encounter, you know, because a lot of people, you know, because of the misconceptions of it and stuff like that, you know, they just don't know how to go about it. So, right. You know, usually I'll get a call or something like that, and, you know, I go out and I don't charge, you know, I don't charge them nothing for coming out. And you want to do some box work? Hey, man, let's do it. You know, I mean, I'm down for it. I mean, you know, I build from scratch, too. I mean, I tinker as far as that goes. But as of right now, no, I don't really sell, you know, sell boxes or anything like that. I'll tell you another thing I don't do. I'm not, you know, criticizing how people do their box. How you run your box is how you run your box. But my personal thing, too, is I don't do call-ups. Like, I won't ask for anybody in particular. Like, if I feel if they're not around and they're not talking, then you probably don't want to talk.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, to me, it's like if I could ask my tech person to go get somebody, you know, I don't know. To me, that's just, I don't do it personally.
Right. Now, Bill in the chat room is actually asking you a question. He wants to know how long you run your box sessions for. I know everybody's different. Personally, I usually run a box when I'm testing it. After I build a box, I test it for a little bit. But when I do an actual sit-down box session, it goes no longer than 10 minutes. I'd say 5 to 8 minutes is when I usually keep my box sessions going. I know you do it with the guys at work and stuff, so I'm sure if you're not recording it, I only keep it short because when I'm recording it, I know I don't want to go over a half hour worth of material. So, I mean, if you're doing it willy-nilly, you know, just busting it out and doing it with some guys at work or something like that, I could say you can let it go forever. But when you're doing controlled recording sessions that you're going to go over, how long do you keep the sessions?
I don't go over 15 minutes.
If I'm doing
something where I'm, you know, recording or something like that, I usually don't run over 15 minutes. For me, it's weird. Like if I run over 15 minutes, I get tired. I don't know if that's like it for you or other people, but I get like sleepy, like it.
It is draining, you know, yeah, sure.
I'm glad you said that, Steve, because it's like I thought, you know, I've been hearing that from other people too, but it does feel like it drains you like a little bit, like, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe taking energy from you as far as that goes, if you want to theorize that way, and, you know, and I also get hungry.
That's a new one. I never got hungry. What?
No.
No.
Ghostbucks Munchies.
The Ghostbucks Munchies.
Yeah. Right, that's exactly what it is. I was doing one over Burlington County Prison about a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. And we were running it up on the third floor. And after about the 15-minute mark, I was like, my God, I need a piece of pizza.
You know, it's so weird is because when I first started doing this and stuff, they used to come through, and I have actually files to back that up. They always said, "Where's the pizza? I love pizza." That was their thing. They love pizza. And Frank says the same thing. He used to get files all the time saying, you know, they love pizza. And he said he would just get pizza and just set it by the box because not that they can eat it, they just like to have it around.
Well, if they like to have it around, my next box, I'll be glad to have a large pepperoni on hand because I don't know. It was just one of those that I get hungry. Like, I usually, like, slip a little, like, you know, power bar in my bag or something like that. Something to grab.
Right.
I don't know what it is. I get tired and I get hungry, you know, as far as that goes. And usually that's the cutoff. It's the 15-minute mark. Anything over that, I just
Right, another question, you know, in the chat room is, have you ever received messages about future events? Anything that is going to take place or anything that they said was going to take place and actually did? That would even be a better question.
I don't get too much of that. I've had some, the only thing that I've ever had on that was I actually got a statement about somebody's health one time that was in a group.
Right.
You know, it was a broken message. We had to put it together over a little bits and pieces. Well, it turns out that the individual, you know, the suggestion was that the individual goes to the doctor and gets checked out. And here, it turns out they had a lot more health problems than they thought they did.
Wow.
You know, but I don't really get any, like, you know, plane crashes or anything. I don't get any of that.
Yeah, I know some people do. I mean, I used to get a lot of earthquakes, tsunamis, stuff like that. But, I mean, that's so generic. I mean, you get earthquake. I mean, if you ever look on the seismograph of the earthquake activity, there's an earthquake going on right now. I'm certain.
Okay, I've got a question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I got once something that I thought was from the past. It was talking about the Blitz and the bombing, like it was in 1942 or something. Have you ever had something that sort of didn't make sense for this time period?
I've had, when I was doing one time at Fort Mifflin, I was getting a lot of references as far as Revolutionary War type of stuff happens, and it was sounding kind of like, almost like, you ever seen that movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson?
Yes.
The, with the fire in the cannon, and you hear that distinctive sound of the ball, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got that one time, and it seemed like it was kind of like, I don't know, a rift in time, like, I mean, you know, now we're getting into, like, you know, when you hear stuff like that, it almost makes you think, like, of the quantum physics theory, and, you know, is that what we're hearing? I mean, but I don't get it too much, but I it makes me wonder, is it the environment, too, you know?
Now, I got a really, really cool, it's unrelated to box research at all, but I was at Fort Mifflin. And we were walking through Fort Mifflin. I swear on a stack of Bibles, my sister and I looked at each other and the couple people we were with. We heard a cannon go off. I swear to God.
I remember that one.
I swear to God, I heard a cannon go off. And we looked at each other. We're like, that was definitely a cannon. No doubt about it. I mean, it was clearly a cannon going off. And it was at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Steve. Fort Mifflin has got to be, I've been to a lot of different places, you know, all around. I mean, and you know, there's a lot of great haunted sites. Fort Mifflin is off the chart as far as, you know, paranormal activity. I mean, I've seen so much and heard so much go on in that place that it's just my first time running box. Was actually in Fort Mifflin's Powder magazine. It was me and a friend of mine. And I whipped up a quick hack shack deal, you know what I mean? And I said, yeah, come on, man, let's go, you know, let's go try this. And, you know, we went in there, and I got to tell you, in honest, it scared the hell out of me. I mean, we couldn't.
Can't
what
explain
came
that, please.
Out of it was like a roar, was like it was loud, it was clear. And me and this guy literally ran into each other like the Keystone Cops to try to get to it to turn it off. You know, I mean,
I can't believe that place. The only thing that that bothers me about Fort Mifflin is it's right by the airport. You can't do regular EVP sessions. Even box work is hard.
It is.
You know, the planes are flying over every 30 seconds.
Yeah, Ralph just put in the thing that maybe the cannon was the airport that you were hearing.
Unless somebody was blowing up an airplane, I doubt it. But there was another question. There's a couple questions in the chat room, and I got to go back and find them now because I lost them. One of the questions was, do you prefer to do your box sessions at haunted locations?
Cemeteries.
Supposedly.
I mean, you like to. I mean, you know, but, you know, with my experience with me and my box, I mean, I've done it on the back of a pickup truck. I've done it, you know, in one of the locations. I've done it in the bathroom. I mean, there's no, you know, a lot. Another thing that, you know, I noticed that, like, you know, people want to do box and stuff like that, but they don't want to do it in their house.
Yeah, I know a lot of people.
Have
like
you
that.
Noticed that one?
Yeah.
Don't bring
yeah,
my damn thing in my house. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that because, I mean, the way I see it, I mean, I can be, you know, I can be here in, you know, Philadelphia, and I can ask a question, or if I give an address about somewhere, anywhere, you know, I usually get answers on it. So,
Mm-hmm. Well, Glenn, you know, I have a question for you again. Who do you think we're talking to?
That's a good one.
I think
yeah, stumped you, didn't myself. He? Didn't she?
You know, as far as who we're talking to, I really think it's, you know, I subscribe to the, you know, quantum physics theory. I think it's, you know, we're talking to people that were here. We're talking to spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call it. I mean,
I've been reading up a lot about the quantum physics and quantum mechanics and such like that lately. And from what I'm gathering, it could be we're talking to ourselves. Meaning that you know that what is that thing with the it does you don't get a reaction until someone's actually watching it. What is that? The split you know what I'm talking about. It hits in a pattern until you watch it and then it changes the pattern. So maybe the fact that we're listening for answers or expecting something, we get it.
That's deep.
Like the double slit experiment?
Yes, that's it. Double split.
What does that mean? Explain that. I don't even understand that.
Basically, that the act of watching an event changes the outcome of the event.
The fact that we're actually talking and expecting something and looking for it, it arrives. It comes to us because we're looking for it.
Well, that's I've always heard that as kind of like audio matrixing.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Kind of like when.
But
look at
different.
A picture.
It's different. It's really happening. We've just changed it. So now, you know, they're using it because we're looking for it. But who are they?
Yeah, well, I would agree with that as far as that goes. I kind of run things, like when I'm doing a group thing, I kind of run things different. I've been accused of, you know, I don't tell people, like, you know, if I heard the word, you know, cat or anything like that, or, you know, whatever the word may be, I ask them, what did you hear? And what I do is I step to the back of the room. And
good
usually
idea.
People are up towards the box. You tell me what you hear. I don't want to tell you and lead you to something or be suggestive or anything like that. I mean, you tell me what you hear. And what's funny, I hear it from the back of the room. They hear it on the left. This person hears it on the right. Are we all having a mass hallucination? You know, when I say to my box, I say, you know what, can you give me something, I don't know, let's try a dirty word, F you, whatever it may be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out. Okay, fine. Let's try it again. Can you tell me to go F myself? Which my tech person doesn't have a problem telling me that. You know, yeah, F you, Glenn. which does happen in real life a lot, too. I don't want to be confused here. You know,
but they're not saying it on the radio.
Exactly. That's the thing of it, too. I mean, because people say, you know, audio matrixing and all that stuff, and we're listening for, you know.
But I'm not saying that it's audio matrixing where we're, you know, what is that, that we are speaking to somebody, but the fact that they're showing up is because we're looking for them.
It's, like I said, it's a definite possibility. I mean, you know, that's where I start, you know, I try to go into more the belief that we are talking to somebody, because I always challenge somebody, if I'm sweeping AM or I'm sweeping FM or whatever it is, you know, please produce me the radio station, you know, on an FM or an AM band that's saying, you know, on a public airwave, F you, drop dead you mother effer, say, bring this person forward, I'd love to have them. And I'm sure
we've
the FCC would.
We've done an experiment before where we've separately, all over the country, wherever we're located, ask the box to repeat a certain word, and then we all posted it, and we've got the same word, all of us.
I like Glenn's take on
that experiment before.
I like his take on the staying in the back of the room thing, because that takes influence.
You out of it.
It takes influence out of there. Since we do it and we understand it a lot better than John Q. Citizen. You know, they're going to sit there and they're not going to hear what we hear. So if we're up there saying what we hear, they're going to say you're just making it up, because they're not going to hear it. Letting them listen to it themselves and deciding for themselves. I actually like that. I think I'm going to use that. That's actually kind of good.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, the first thing people say is, oh, come on, man, this is a put on, or this is a game, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I'll say, okay, you know what, I'm going to sit in the back here and you tell me what you heard. I'm not going to be up front. I'm not going to, there's no hand gestures. I even take it a step forward. my box will be talking to somebody in particular. I say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn this over to you. So I'll say to my tech person, Chris, I say, Chris, you know what? Mike or Jim or whoever it is, you know, they're going to run this for a little bit, and I'm going to leave. I'm out.
Right.
And I go outside, and I'll have a coffee, and I'll smoke a cigarette or whatever the case may be, and I'll come back 10 minutes later and tell me what you heard. And it's amazing. I wasn't even in the room, and all these people say, this is what we heard. I was like, oh, you heard it? You heard it? You heard it? You know, so what's going on? You know what I mean?
Now, I mean, these questions are flying through the chat room. I'm trying to keep up, but people, it's going pretty quick in there. One person wrote, do you do anything in preparation for a ghost box? Me personally, I don't. I turn it on, do my session, shut it off. Do you do anything like with any preparation, a prayer or anything? I know some people do that. Is there anything that you do before you turn it on or shut it off?
I actually do. I mean, I do my own personal stuff. I mean, I'm Catholic by nature.
Right.
You know, I don't bring it up, you know, while I'm in, you know, around the Catholics, because, you know, out comes the holy water and all that stuff. I can
yeah.
make jokes about them because I'm Catholic, so. you know, but I do my own personal thing. Even when I go on an investigation or anything like that, I'll take my preparations and, you know, we'll say a little prayer or something like that. And I actually have on the back of my box, I actually have a blessed St. Michael medal, which is, nobody can see it. It's actually underneath a bag that I have strapped to the back of the box. And to me, it's just a traditional thing that, you know, I started doing. And, you know, it's just, I mean, symbolism is important. I mean, but what's more important is if you see a symbol and you don't believe in what that symbol stands for, then it'll probably do you no good.
That's true.
You know,
see, I'm
mean,
not Catholic,
see,
so I don't know about all that, you know, stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I do have a Michael the Archangel. Is that what the?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have one of those things. I had some problems when I first started doing ghost box research. I had to get one of those things. I had a weird problem, and it seemed like the spirit got caught here. Kristen had a similar experience with the same type
box.
Of box, the Joe's box, and it seemed that shut the session down, and something was going on here, like they were trapped here, like I shut it off and they got stuck here, like when you turn it on, it opens some sort of portal, they were coming and going, hey, what's going
right.
on, and then when you shut it off, if they didn't get back in time, they were stuck with you. That's almost how I felt it was, and I had some pretty negative stuff going on, so I did get one of those things, even though I'm not religion, I'm not Catholic or nothing, people said that
mm-hmm.
would help, and it did. So, I mean, to each
yeah.
his own.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when I end my session, usually, I send them back. I mean, I asked my tech guy, Chris, I said, you know, how are we looking here? I mean, you know, how many people do you have right now? You know, can you give me a number of who wants to talk? And I've had numbers as low as one. I've had numbers as high as 500 and something.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like, whoa. Then you really start thinking to yourself, that's a lot of beating on the door, man.
Yeah. One hell of a portal you got there. What's that, Andy?
Speaking about numbers real quick, do you notice repetition of the number 7 a lot when you're doing your sessions?
Good question.
I get a lot of 7s. I get a lot of 3s, too.
Yes.
Interesting.
7s I did. Like, Jeff, another researcher out there, says 7 is his technician. And
7 is
what's that? Yours as well?
7. Yeah, it comes through all the time for me, and it's like 7 helps. And I asked once what 7
yeah.
was, and get this. Okay, this is what I got when I asked what 7 was. What did 7 mean? And I got the first son, Shiva Justice, something else. It was all religious, but it like took Hindu, Buddhism, Christianity/Judaism all in one answer. It was such a cool answer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
And I have that one saved as one of my favorites, so...
Yeah, it does make you wonder. I mean, you know, it's, you know, how many people, you know, that you would have... And, you know, in one spot, I usually ask, you know, I mean, how are we looking? I mean, are we okay? I'll let my, tech person let me know, you know, Have I had problems shutting the box down where I didn't get that green light? Like, okay, clear, you can shut it down. Right. Oh yeah, I mean, I ran 2.5 hours one time.
Wow.
Because I didn't get it clear.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking if I say how many people are here and they say 500 and something, I'd say, well, I don't have enough time for 500 people to go back. I'm going to bed. I mean, that's just me. But
Yeah, I usually ask him, you know, are we, I mean, usually a shutdown, I mean, it only takes a couple, you know, a minute or two anyway, you know, and I try to keep it pleasant, you know, with the good nights and all that, and, you know, depending on what kind of night, you know, have you guys noticed that, like, your tech person actually matches your personality to a degree?
Yeah, I never thought of that.
Really, I mean, I don't know. I thought I lost mine for a while because I never showed up.
Yeah, I've never had any luck contacting a tech either.
I don't consider seven a tech. I consider seven, he goes to everybody or they or whatever seven is, works with everybody. But I don't have a particular person that shows up with every session, no.
I agree. I also don't, at least not a recurring personality that can be recognized from session to session.
Like Mike Lisa. Do you get Mike Lisa anymore, Steve?
Yeah, but I do the session, and I just see what comes through. And if I'm looking for a particular person, I will ask for their help. I say, listen, hey, Mike, can you grab so-and-so and have them come through? And I ask them for help because I figure they're over there. They can grab them easier than me, you know, trying to get them to come talk to me. So that's how I do it. But, yeah, they're still there. They're there every session. They don't bother me, and I don't ask for them because I figure they got enough work to do over there besides talking to me. So if I do need them, I'll ask for them. If I don't, I don't. You know, it's not like I turn it on and go, okay, turn it on. Okay, Mike, what's up? You know, what's going on tonight? And let him run the session, which a lot of people do, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't do that right off the bat.
Right.
You know what I mean? I only do it if I need to do it. But anyway.
Glenn, have you ever reached any relatives, personal relatives, that you were for sure that you think you got them?
No, me myself, I've never reached any personal relatives. I just did one like 2 weeks ago at a lighthouse in New Jersey with a bunch of people. And one of the guys that was there, it was his first time ever doing box. And we went in and we started doing it, and he kind of, expression kind of changed, and his name kept coming out of it time and time again. Now, this particular individual, pretty big guy, nice guy, but an exceptionally big guy. And it was just interesting. He was literally down on hands and knees in front of the box, and he's like, say that again, and his name kept coming out. He actually got up and dismissed himself from the room. Which I thought was, you know, I just said, something's up. So I went outside and talked to the guy. And here he is sitting, you know, because it was a lighthouse, they have a boat there, like a, you know, a display, I guess it would be a lifeboat or whatever it is. And he's sitting in the lifeboat with, like, head in hands, you know. So I just said, you know, hey, you all right, man? What's going on? He's like, you know, he's like, that was my uncle. And I'm like, really? I'm like, did you recognize the voice? He's like, listen, you know, I probably have 20 uncles, but really I only have one. And there's no way I know what I heard. And what was important to him is that no matter what I said at this point, no matter what I did, he was totally convinced. There was no change in it. Like, how could I know, you know, your relationship with your uncle? Or how could I? There's no way for me to know that.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, he says, you know, I'm just trying to, he looked at me with a very confused look, and he says, I'm just trying to, you know, absorb this. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Like, half of me wants to go get a box. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. You know what I mean? You know, sit and theorize over it a little bit, work with it a little bit, understand it a little bit more. You know, you don't want to run out right now and, you know, try to get a box or do a hack shack or something like that. You know, have some theory on it and, you know, get some understanding before you get into it. I mean, you're kind of open to it right now. So, ease into it. You know, just don't dive right into it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. One more question from the chat room, and then we gotta wrap up or run over. One more question is, do you have any box features that you would like to see in, like, the ultimate box, like, for someone to make?
I'll tell you what I liked in, you know, we did in John's box, you know, Frank's number 33s, we did a,
That's right, you modified that.
You know, we did the resonating echo chamber, which was detached from his box. We had some problems with it in the beginning, and, you know, it was a very basic, very simple design and stuff like that. And, you know, John loves it. I mean, it's really taken out a lot of the, you know, distortion and the background noise and stuff. And, you know, I'd like to do some more work with that and see if I can incorporate it a little bit better inside the box, you know, instead of having a detached. We did it kind of slickly, like it almost clipped one to the side. We took 33 out of its original casing. You know, of course, you know, like I was telling you, Steve, we actually contacted Frank. You know, we didn't feel right about, you know, we don't want to impede somebody else's work. And, you know, if he right. said no, it was a no. But, you know Frank.
Yeah.
He was up with it. And, you know, I actually have pictures of it on my Facebook page when we took it out. You know, and
yeah, John, I was looking at that tonight.
You know, he wanted to go with a look like kind of an old attaché leather-looking case. And we actually did a real nice casing with it. And the whole thing came out pretty good. So I'd like to see more things like that. You know what I mean?
Just more older-looking, unique style boxes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of like the look of something like that. It's kind of like, you know, everybody wants to be an individual right. too. I mean, everybody wants to have, you know, something that's, you know, nobody else has. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but like right. you said, we're all in it. You know, we're all in it for the same thing. We're all in it working for the same goal. So that's what I really enjoy about this field is that, you know, people like us, we can get together and, you know, shoot the crap and, you yeah. know, exchange the ideas and, you know, hopefully get to the answers instead of saying, you know, well, mine does this and yours don't do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I know there's a lot of backbiting. A lot of people are out to get everybody. So I try to stay out of the fray anymore. You know, I got into that earlier on, but I just kind of one-up them now and just do my own thing and I don't really care what goes on. I really don't. You know, I feel it, like...
Yeah, exactly.
It's so much,
I
it's
totally
so much better.
I agree with that.
So much better just to do your own thing and not worry about what anybody else does. So, anyway, listen, we got to wrap up. I appreciate you coming on, man, and you're local in the area. Next time I go to Fort Mifflin or anywhere out in the Philly area, you're out in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, I'm out. I'm actually Northeast Philadelphia. Yeah, anytime any of you come out, you know, hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on, you know, actually, I have another site that we actually work. I work with United Paranormal International at ing.com. It's another, you know, it's another one of them sites where we exchange free ideas. And, you know, we don't ridicule people for what their thoughts or beliefs are. So, I mean, and that's free to join, too. So I welcome all you guys that, you know, we need all box people
yeah.
as much as we can. We got to get together. You know what I mean?
That sounds good. All right, well, I'll look you up when I'm in that area with it. If not, I'll touch base with you on Facebook anyway.
Absolutely. Hey, come out here. We'll definitely do. I got quite a few sites out here we can do, and we'll have some fun.
All right, sounds good, Glenn. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night.
All right.
Bye. All right,
bye. Oh, cut him off. No.
What a great guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. And seems like he's into it for the ultimate goal, the same reason why we're all into it. Just to learn and see what everybody else is up to. Yeah, might as well do that stuff. But anyway, we definitely ran over already, so let me play us out. It's 10:17. We've been on for an hour and 15 minutes. Started a couple minutes late, but yeah, excellent show. 2 weeks, I hope
and
to have some.
And good banning, everybody. Yay for the banning.
Yes, we all played our part in the chat room doing the banning. So that was that actually worked out a little bit better this week. So I'll post this. People can catch up with the show and the podcast. And anyway, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. And hopefully I'll post the guests that we're going to have coming up. Appreciate everybody coming into the chat room. Great questions from everybody tonight. And Bill, good to see Bill out there taking time out to listen to the show. So thank you guys, and we'll see you in a couple weeks. Sound
Happy
good?
Halloween.
Sounds good. See you then.
All right. Good night. You've been listening to RTSC Talk Radio here only on the Steve Holte Radio Network.